This is all of it from WNYC. I'm Kate Hines, in for Allison Stewart. And it's Thursday, so it's time for another installment of our weekly series, Food for Thought, and today is all about carbs. Yes, my personal favorite food group, but one that has been vilified and, as you will learn, misunderstood. There's a trend today towards eliminating carbs entirely. This means cutting out whole and refined grains, baked goods, pasta, bread, starchy vegetables like peas and corn. But what if you embraced them instead? Because, after all, carbs are one of the three main macronutrients in our diets, aside from fat and protein. In her new cookbook, chef and blogger Phoebe Lapine talks about how the body uses and metabolizes carbohydrates, how to harness their power, and she provides advice on what to put on your grocery list, as well as provides 130 recipes, a little bit more than that. It's titled Carbivore, 130 Healthy Recipes to Stop Fearing Carbs and Embrace the Comfort Foods You Love. It's out now, and Phoebe Lapine joins me in studio to discuss. Phoebe, welcome to all of it.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Listeners, we would love to hear from you. How do you feel about carbs? Which ones can you not live without? Your desert island carb. I know, Phoebe, yours is pasta with pasta and a side of pasta.
Correct.
If you have any questions about carbs, give us a call. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also reach out to us on social at @allofitWNYC. So, Carbivore, the title of your book, is exactly what it suggests. It's about carbs. But as we have been talking about, a lot of people will say we should be cutting out carbs or really limiting them. Why do you think that's happening? And when did that become a big movement in nutrition?
Yeah, so I think over the last 10 years, carbophobia, if you want to call it that, has definitely been on the rise. And it's not for no reason. Back in the 90s, when we started to take fat out of many foods, we naturally became more of a high-carb diet culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people blame some of the chronic health issues that we see today on that change. Of course, carbohydrates on their own are not the villain. I think a lot of the conversation has kind of gotten conflated with added sugar, which now takes up about 80% of the supermarket aisle. But carbs themselves, as you mentioned, are, you know, a building block of life. We need carbs in order to live. If we were to eliminate all carbohydrates, we would eliminate all plants. And I think most people can agree that that would not help our longevity, quite the opposite.
Yeah, when you mentioned plants, that surprised me because I tend to think of carbs as starchy foods like pasta, but I forget, oh, that we're talking about potatoes as well, mm-hmm. and maybe beans. What are some other foods that are carbs, but we don't think of as being carbs?
Yeah, so it's any root vegetable, any seed-like grain, quinoa, legumes, corn, oats. I mean, first of all, I like to start with definitions. Carbs is kind of a slang term, and as you said, it's really a stand-in for starch. But carbohydrates is kind of the blanket umbrella category. And starch is really just a complex carbohydrate, meaning that it's made up of multiple molecules of glucose. But once it is converted in our body and reaches our small intestine and gets absorbed, it all becomes the same thing. So mm-hmm. glucose. So we just want to make sure that we have other macronutrients involved and, more importantly, fiber involved mm-hmm. to kind of slow down our carbs roll into our bloodstream so that we don't have too much of a good thing all at once.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that in a minute. But just to make sure people understand the role of glucose, it gets converted into energy, right? It's like the gas in your tank.
Glucose is fuel for the body.
So that is the main benefit of eating carbs. Are there any other benefits of carbohydrates?
Yeah, I mean, we need carbs in order to produce certain hormones. I have an autoimmune disease that affects my thyroid, and in particular, thyroid hormones are created by carbs. I mean, some of these low-carb diets like keto is they're about kind of finding fuel from within, but it doesn't work for all of our bodily processes. Mm-hmm. Some of them really do require carbs.
And as you said, you were diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which kind of led you down this journey to patient heal thyself. You had to kind of go through a trial and error process. How did that experience redefine your relationship with food?
Oh my gosh. So I wrote my first cookbook when I was 23 years old, and it had nothing to do with health. And on the eve of that book coming out, I got this diagnosis and also discovered that I was very sensitive to gluten. A lot of people experience some form of gluten sensitivity these days. And so I had to dramatically change my diet, and I went through all the stages of grief involved. And then I kind of felt like I didn't really fit in to the food scene anymore because I had this huge dietary restriction. And 13 years ago, being gluten-free was not as common as it is today. But then, you know, as I started to dip my feet into the world of holistic health and wellness, I also didn't really feel like I fit in there either because there was just so many laundry lists of really rigid recommendations online. And I was young and in my mid-20s, and I wasn't going to throw out all the contents of my apartment and replace them with organic cotton and baking soda. And I also wasn't going to be overly restrictive with my diet. You know, I think it's hard because a lot of Western medicine doesn't talk about diet at all in terms of healing. But then on the other side of the spectrum, there's this movement of food as medicine. And I'm all for that. But I always try and tell people food isn't just medicine. Mm-hmm. It's also love. It's a huge part of our culture. And it's pleasure. And I think kind of the concept of pleasure can get lost in the conversation in the wellness world.
Yeah. Food is a lot of people's love language.
Absolutely. It's definitely mine.
Listeners, you can get in on the conversation. Give us a call. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. If you have any questions for Phoebe about how to include healthy carbs in your diet, you can also reach out to us on social at @allofitWNYC. Let's talk to Tina in Dutchess County. Hi, Tina. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just diagnosed with prediabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take medication for my sugar, so I'm trying to do this through diet. So I do consume a lot of grains, beans, but I do like my rice. I like my pasta. I do like my bread. Breads I eat are full of grains, they're not white bread.
Mm-hmm.
But I've still been diagnosed with 5.7 in my sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just at that borderline. I'm changing my diet, but I'm really interested in what good carbs I could eat.
All right, Tina, thanks so much for calling. Phoebe, I know that people with diabetes or pre-diabetes really have to maintain an even keel with blood sugar. Do you have any advice for Tina?
Yes. I mean, I think everyone has to choose their own carb adventure. but the reality is that extremes on either end, high carb or low carb, don't benefit the average person. Of course, if you have diabetes or any sort of insulin dysfunction, you may have to be more careful about carbs than others. But, you know, fiber is a carbohydrate, and fiber is one of the most impactful ways that we can go slow carb instead of low carb. So again, making sure that we are not flooding our bloodstream with glucose, but it's coming in at more of a moderate drip. And I like to give people the analogy of thinking about our small intestinal wall as a fine mesh sieve. So if you were to pour apple juice, so sugar on an empty stomach, it would go straight through like a waterfall. But if you were to mash up apple kind of in the same way that you would in your mouth just by chewing, you would see that there's kind of this sludge around the sieve. And that's thanks to fiber. So even if you were to pour that apple juice in afterwards, it would be more of, you know, a drip drip. And that is what fiber does in our diet. So, you know, the simplest way I think to think about keeping, you know, our favorite carbs in our diet is to simply add more fiber to our plate in the form of vegetables, nuts, seeds. You know, even though beans and legumes are a carbohydrate, are a carb, they also are high in fiber and high in resistant starch, which kind of acts like fiber in the body. So those things are among my favorite, what I call carb companions in the book. And that's kind of what the recipes are all about, or balancing your plate with a lot of carb companions.
So it's like pairing your meal with a fine wine. Pair your carbohydrate with a fine fiber.
I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Well, let's get into talking about how to cook like a carnivore. You suggest in the third chapter about making vegetables the star of your meal.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this the mantra for your book?
Okay. So again, it goes back to that fiber first tip, which is one of my favorites. Again, just slowing down how quickly our carbs move through our system and enter our bloodstream. Also, it's so good for gut health. And my last book was about a niche condition called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. We talk a lot about fiber in that book, but generally the health of our large intestinal microbiome, our good gut critters, is super reliant on fiber. We don't break down fiber ourselves, which makes it, you know, a really interesting type of carbohydrate because it doesn't enter the bloodstream at all. It just passes through, creating that, you know, slurry in our small intestine, but then reaching our large intestine and becoming a food source. So you're kind of hedging your bets on both sides, both on the blood sugar side and also in improving our gut health. And then, of course, since everything in health is kind of related, we've seen through data that the health of our large intestinal microbiome also contributes to making sure that we have better blood sugar stability.
I noticed in Carbivore, you suggest not peeling your vegetables.
Yes.
What's the secret behind that?
So that's one of my favorite tips because I think, unfortunately, convenience usually is a trade-off with health, especially in the carb department. But this is the one case, or I won't say the one case, but this is a case where you can actually save time in the kitchen and do your health a favor. So there is more fiber in the peel, in actually even the woody stems of things like broccoli, than in the fleshy centers. So simply leaving the skin on your potatoes, leaving the skin on your carrots. There are some vegetables where I wouldn't recommend it, like parsnips are a little bit bitter. But leaving them on those two things, which is kind of the default in the book, is just a really easy way to increase the fiber on your plate.
Good tip. Time saver. I rarely peel. It's just,
yeah,
I can be bothered by peeling.
I'm a lazy cook at heart, so just know that.
100%. If you're just joining us, I'm Kate Hines in for Allison Stewart. This is All of It. I am speaking with Phoebe Lapine, the author of the new cookbook, Carbivore. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Let's get into some recipes.
Ooh, yes.
Linguine with chorizo, clams, and eggs. I love that. We're going to start off with pasta with a bang because it's a hybrid of your two favorite dishes, which I believe are linguine alla vongole and caldo verde, a Portuguese kale and sausage soup. Tell us why these are your two favorite dishes and what you looked for in making a melange of both of them.
Yes, I absolutely love that soup. It's obviously packed with kale, also has a tomato base. And then a vongole is just such a satisfying pasta. It's briny, it's delicious. And I love the pairing of kind of smoky chorizo with those flavors. So again, the carb companions in this pasta dish are the kale, of course, the tomatoes, and then even, you know, having protein and healthy fats in there are also hugely beneficial. So we kind of cover all of our bases with that dish.
So speaking of pasta, you have been gluten-free. Are you still gluten-free? How do you reconcile that with your love of pasta?
I am. It's been over 13 years and it's gotten so much easier. There are, of course, lots of swaps at the grocery store now. So I say that the book is gluten optional. It's gluten-free because that's the way I eat. But anyone can use whatever type of pasta they like in the pasta chapter, whatever type of bread they like in the bread chapter. It honestly hasn't curtailed my love of carbs or my, you know, ability to eat them that much these days. Mm-hmm. It's really in baking that it's become a little bit more of a challenge. But I've found really simplified ways to create kind of foolproof baked goods that don't involve, you know, 10 different flours and stabilizers and whatnot.
Yeah. In the recipe we were just talking about, you suggest a carb swap, which involves omitting the pasta and adding a pound of finely diced potatoes to the pan with the chorizo. How do potatoes work as a substitute?
If you cut them really fine, there's a bunch of liquid in this dish, some white wine, and the potatoes can just, you know, slowly kind of steam in them. The clams themselves will also release their own brine. So that's a variation that I've made many times that is also delicious as kind of a beautiful, I think, summer, you know, clam skillet.
Are there any particular potatoes that you like?
I love all potatoes. I don't discriminate. There are a lot of sweet potatoes in this book, but I also love, you know, small fingerlings or baby potatoes. Again, you know, from a carbivore perspective, it's a better ratio of skin to fleshy centers. Oh. But I also like how crispy they get because I'm ultimately a French fry girl.
Yeah. Who isn't, really?
I know.
We need to take a short break, but we will be back with more about Carbivore and Phoebe Lapine. You can give us a call with your questions and comments, 212-433-9692. This is All of It. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Kate Hines, in for Allison Stewart, and we are talking about all things carbohydrates with chef, blogger, podcaster Phoebe Lapine. Her new cookbook is called Carbivore, 130 Healthy Recipes to Stop Fearing Carbs and Embrace the Comfort Foods You Love. And let's just go right to the phones. We got a lot of questions from callers in. Margot in Westchester, you're joining us. Hi, what do you want to say?
Hi there. I am very interested to know how to best incorporate more carbs and fiber into my diet while still not suffering from bloating and gas. And I find myself taking so many digestive enzymes, and I would like to know, you know, is it possible? I know you're supposed to do it, you know, kind of slowly. I also eat organic, so I don't, I do peel a lot of my vegetables. And I also worry about that green stuff on potatoes that you're supposed to not be eating. So, yeah, how to feel comfortable while also maximizing the carbs on the beans and legumes and stuff in your diet.
Yeah, that's a great question, Margot.
Yeah, and I have to say, your question is one of the reasons why I wrote this book, because my last book was an IBS-adjacent book, and it involved recipes that fit the low FODMAP diet, which is an acronym that has various types of carbohydrates in it. And a lot of people with IBS are being given this diet as a tool to reduce symptoms, and it can be really powerful.
Can you describe what a low FODMAP diet is?
Yes. So,
what does FODMAP stand for?
Oh my gosh, don't make me say it. It's like, it's a very long oligosaccharides is the O in it. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. But yes, it's various types of carbohydrates that can be irritating to people. And unfortunately, it involves a lot of high fiber vegetables that mm-hmm. are thought of as healthy, you know, both in terms of, again, managing blood sugar and then also the health of our large intestinal microbiome. So, you know, artichokes, garlic and onion are big triggers for people, and beans and legumes are also in that acronym. So a lot of people take those out and then struggle to reincorporate them. And again, struggle to kind of balance, you know, the need for this long-term plan of feeding our gut without having, you know, the short-term side effects of mm-hmm. bloating, as you mentioned. So all of that is to say that I completely understand where you're coming from with this question. And a few of the tools that I would recommend is, first and foremost, if you're integrating more, you know, kind of woody fibrous vegetables for the first time, cooking them really helps. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take as much digestive fire to break down something that's already cooked than it is to, you know, mess with a whole bowl of raw kale. And then again, another baby step could be pureeing or, you know, using a food processor or a blender to make things a little bit easier to assimilate. But I would say go slow. And that's kind of my biggest advice for people who are coming off of the low FODMAP diet and integrating more vegetables into their life. I also think, you know, nuts and seeds are a really great source of fiber, also healthy fats and protein in a really tiny package. So adding more of those to your meal, if there are certain vegetables that tend to be a trigger for you, is kind of a workaround.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Margot. Keep us tuned. We want to know what happens. Let's talk about a couple more recipes. Hemp crusted chicken tenders, page 136. My question is hemp.
Yeah, so that was actually a great segue, because hemp is one of my favorite types of seeds to incorporate into some of these meals, because they're really mild. Flavor-wise, you don't always notice them, and texture-wise, you don't either. And this is a really good recipe that highlights my philosophy of healthy hedonism, which is, again, how I kind of found the middle ground between, you know, the staunch health people and my old life as an omnivore chef. And I define it as, you know, kind of the Venn diagram where the things that nourish your body overlap with the things that feed your spirit. Mm-hmm. So this recipe uses breakfast cereal as the gluten-free hack to make them crispy without deep frying them. So I use Brown Rice Krispies. I also use Corn Flakes. That's a carb swap right there for you if you want to try that. But in this recipe, I kind of cut them with a bit of hemp seeds, which are a complete mm-hmm. protein. They're super good for you. And you almost don't even notice that they're there in the crust. But it gets really crunchy just in the oven and really great for kids' lunchboxes and just delicious.
Now, some people use flour and egg to bread their mm-hmm. chicken. What's the process you use?
So you only have to dredge these once because, again, you're starting with a nice crispy crunchiness already with the cereal. So, yeah, you avoid having to dredge the chicken and flour first, then put them in the egg wash, then put them in breadcrumbs, which is the traditional way of doing things. So, as I said, I'm a lazy cook, so it also cuts a step.
What has surprised you as you have gone through this process of trying to heal yourself through food and also adopting a gluten-free diet and being really mindful about how you consume carbohydrates and fiber?
Well, I think mindfulness is the operative term because I think what surprises me again and again is how bad stress is for so many aspects of our digestion, but especially our blood sugar metabolism. I mean, when we have adrenaline and cortisol pumping through our body, back in the day, it was, you know, again, our fight or flight response. It was for survival. It was to tell us, you know, that we're in danger. And it naturally elevates our blood sugar because we needed that extra energy to perhaps, you know, flee a big animal or whatnot. But today, when we're just sitting at our desks answering passive aggressive emails, you know, that doesn't really serve us. And so I think people sometimes, and myself included, can get really bogged down with this omission mindset. And honestly, our mental health and stress management is really, really impactful when mm-hmm. it comes to blood sugar. Again, just like having a better baseline for when we're eating carbs or the things we love. And then, of course, with our digestive system as well, it helps our intestines function as they are meant to function when we're a little bit more relaxed and switched into rest and digest mode.
Okay, we have a lot of texts from listeners, and I want to read a couple of them. I'll start with the praise. Nice segment. The guest chef author Phoebe is communicating effectively about things close to my heart. IBS, SIBO, gluten intolerance. And then I have a question that is more of a comment. Can the guest clarify if her meals are low fat? It sounds like she's made some balanced meals, many focused on vegetables, and I'm not sure why she's promoting carbs if the meals are mainly fiber forward.
Fiber is a type of carb, of carbohydrate. So again, we're kind of dipping into slang speak mm-hmm. for carbs there. But they're not necessarily low fat. Again, I think when we eliminated that macronutrient in the 90s, we didn't necessarily do ourselves any favors.
I'm old enough to remember Olestra.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many things. I'll give the example of yogurt, though. So when we take fat out of yogurt, the ratio of naturally occurring carbs, so lactose, which is a sugar, goes up. And the fat in yogurt actually will slow down your stomach from emptying its contents into the small intestine. So we're increasing the number of carbs, and we're also speeding up the process that they're going to reach your bloodstream. And then, of course, you know, usually those yogurts also had some added sugar in the form of, you know, a fruit syrup or whatnot. So that's kind of where we got into trouble. And what happens when we have excess energy that enters the bloodstream is that our liver has no choice but to convert some of it into fat. So I think the low fat movement was a real irony because while we were promised less fat on the package because of our blood sugar metabolism and the way that our body works, we were all but guaranteed more fat inside of our bodies as a result.
Yikes.
Yikes.
What's one recipe from Carbivore that you would really like people to try?
Ooh, okay. Well, since it's spring, there is a strawberry rhubarb upside down polenta cake.
Yeah, and dessert.
I was about to say, I bring this up because dessert is not the enemy. Generally, the ones that are in Carbivore are meant to be eaten at the end of the meal. Again, once you have all these other things already in the tank, like fiber and fat and protein. But they also tend to be slightly more low sugar than ordinary recipes that you'd find. And again, relying on whole fruits, which mm-hmm. have their own built-in fiber to create some of that sweetness. So we have the whole fruit in this one. And then also there's some pistachios in there. And the base of it is polenta. And then also there's some almond flour in there as well.
What is polenta?
It's just a type of cornmeal. It's coarsely ground. It's similar to grits. Or maybe they're, I can't remember, it's medium. I think it's coarse. Medium ground is what we think of as cornmeal usually.
We have just a minute or so left, but you've mentioned the philosophy of healthy hedonism a bunch of times, which I love. But I'm wondering how you practice it in real life. Like, how do you say, I'm sitting down to dinner, this is going to be a healthy hedonistic meal?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always about finding that balance of the plate between the macronutrients and just relying on vegetables more than anything. But I also think it's a lifestyle. It's a kind of a toolkit that I have. Again, checking in with my mental health. I always say that if you're stressing about what you're eating all the time, no amount of kale will make you healthy. And that was a phrase that I came up with in my book, The Wellness Project, which was all about Hashimoto's. But, you know, I keep coming back to it again and again when I'm doing the research on carbivore and talking about it. So I think, yeah, that's my biggest how I find healthy hedonism every day is by just not stressing about what I'm doing all the time.
And you too can become a healthy hedonist with Phoebe Lapine's cookbook, Carbivore, 130 Healthy Recipes to Stop Fearing Carbs and Embrace the Comfort Foods You Love. Phoebe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.